Welcome to Truth Is Now Treason, a podcast that annihilates the lies but defends justice and truth, particularly the truth.
So welcome, traitors. You know, we did a series about a year ago called Beginning of the End. And in that first episode, Dietrich said the reason for our purpose for doing the series was to wake up some people, especially to wake up the church across America and even across the world. And I would like to expand on that because that is kind of like what our whole purpose of Truth Is Now Treason is. You know, we heard a video of a pastor, we watched a video of a pastor, and we want to share it with you. You're going to hear just the audio portion, but the link is in our episode description if you wish to listen to the entire message. But we plan to summarize a lot of what this pastor is sharing when he was speaking at Faith and Freedom Coalition Conference back in June of 2022. And I believe it re-emphasizes our purpose here at Truth Is Now Treason. I want to start off, though, by reading a couple of verses in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Jesus is talking to a crowd of people and says to the people listening, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." And Jesus then goes on to say, "We are to be a light to the world too."
Yeah, both salt and light, they have properties which affect things around them. Salt's not just used to enhance flavor, but it's also a preservative. That's why the stuff in your canned goods lasts so long. It's loaded with salt. In the Middle East, before refrigeration was possible, salt was put on meat to keep it from spoiling or decaying during long periods of travel. I mean, you really need this in the desert heat, right? Now, I'm sure some meat probably still spoiled, but for the most part, that salt prevented that staple from decaying. The meat that did possibly spoil was delayed for a little while longer than if you hadn't put any salt on it at all, right? I want you to listen to this pastor. This is Pastor Robert Jeffress out of Dallas. I want you to listen to him speak about this very passage and how it relates to the church and the believer, especially today in 2024.
In Jesus' day, before refrigeration, salt was a preservative. It didn't prevent the decay of meat, but it delayed the decay. It gave the meat a little longer shelf life until it had to be thrown out. And Jesus is saying, "I am leaving you in the world instead of taking you to heaven immediately, first of all, to be a preservative, to delay the decay of the culture and the world so that we have longer to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." And that's what salt means. We're to push back against the evil in the world.
So he said we are to push back against evil in our world. That is what it means to be salt. That is a believer of Christ's responsibility. And if we aren't doing this, then we have lost our saltiness. We are useless as Christians, just like with salt is to meat. If the salt doesn't have any saltiness left, then it is useless to the meat. This is the same thing for the church. If we don't push back against evil, we have lost our saltiness and our society decays. And once salt loses its usefulness, the meat decays.
Yeah, Christians have been salt throughout the world at certain times in our history. It was Christians who fought to end slavery, most specifically the African slave trade. It was Christians who helped to begin the civil rights movement here in America. And most recently, about 8 years ago, it was Christians who voted for President Trump in 2016. Now, he was the one who promised to put pro-life people on the Supreme Court. And it was this Supreme Court who recently voted to reject Roe versus Wade. The Supreme Court justices did the right thing here. And although we know, since this has happened, that individual states have been in a frenzy to pass their own abortion laws, but this is what happens when believers do the right things and they push back against evil and don't remain silent. It changes society for the good. It delays evil, like Pastor Jeffress says. It makes living a little more flavorful, just like salt does to food. Christians who act as Jesus commanded here in Matthew chapter 5, they are the ones who flavor the world when they act like they're the salt of the earth.
Now, Pastor Jeffress goes on to share a time when the church did not act as salt, but instead was silent. And this made me cry as I listened, and it moved me, and I know it will you too, unless you, of course, have no heart like Dietrich.
2 Thessalonians 2, Paul said, we are a restrainer of evil. What happens when Christians refuse to be salt? They refuse to restrain evil. Look at what happened in Nazi Germany. The reason Adolf Hitler rose to power and killed 6 million Jews was because, by and large, German Christians remained silent. They said, we're not going to get involved in politics. We're only going to preach the gospel. Let somebody else do that. One Christian who lived during the Holocaust said, we heard stories of what was happening to the Jews, but we tried to distance ourselves from it. A railroad track ran behind our small church, and each Sunday morning we could hear the whistles in the distance. We became disturbed when we heard the cries coming from the train as it passed by. We realized it was carrying Jews like cattle in the cars. Week after week, the whistle would blow. We dreaded to hear the sound of those wheels because we knew we would then hear the cries of the Jews en route to the death camp. Their screams tormented us. We knew the time the train was coming, and when we heard the whistle blow, we began singing hymns. By the time the train came past our church, we were singing at the top of our voices. If we heard the screams, we sang more loudly, and soon we heard them no more. Years have passed, and nobody talks about it anymore, but I still hear that train whistle in my sleep. God, forgive me. Forgive all of us who called ourselves Christians, yet did nothing to intervene. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot be silent any longer. Make no mistake about it. The Joe Biden administration is the most evil presidential administration in the history of the United States of America. And it's time for Christians to stand up, to push back, to speak out against their evil, evil agenda.
Man, I don't presume to know what I would have done if I were there in that church, but hearing this surely makes me think, are our local churches doing this very thing? Are we just distancing ourselves and ignoring those being slaughtered in our society, especially in the political arena? Or are we pushing back like scripture commands? And I mean no disrespect, but I don't believe we are pushing back. I wish more pastors like Pastor Jeffress would speak out against this evil. Many inside our churches aren't even aware of persecution that is currently going on right here in America. And this is why we must share with our church leaders and with others about what is happening around us in this country and also around the world. There are just too many Christians silent today, trying to distance themselves. And my heart is heavy because the church is too quiet.
Yeah, passivity is not spirituality. You know, I believe that people think that it's a spiritual thing to do, not to make waves. Or, you know, that just quoting scripture behind church pulpits or at small group Bible studies or on social media is more spiritual. But meanwhile, just like those Jews screaming while being led to the gas chambers and the German church ignored them, today, currently, people in the political arena or in the public eye are being attacked across our world. And we, the church, are ignoring the evil attackers. We're never condemning publicly those corrupt individuals or even stepping to defend those who are being tortured or oppressed. We're acting just like the German Christians acted when a train full of Jews were being crammed into train cars, headed wherever, to be killed.
Elie Wiesel said, we must always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. And those German Christians ignored the evil beside them. They didn't take sides. They ignored the evil, all while engaging in comfortable Christian behaviors like singing to the Lord at church. And boy, they were singing loudly too. That made them even more spiritual, huh? It was much easier to sing to the Lord, wasn't it, than to try to do something. I get that. But they bought into that lie back then to keep out of politics. And I think the church today in 2024 is buying into that lie as well. Individuals say, well, we just need to honor the separation of church and state and remain quiet about social issues. And I do understand this because I am an educator, but let's be truly honest. There are ways to discuss and call out wicked people without violating the statute, because this is more than turning someone from one political party to another. This is about a battle of good versus evil. I think just like how it was easier for the German church to sing more loudly and not draw any attention to themselves, you know, keep the peace. Today, it is easier for the American church to blindly follow supposed social norms, you know, don't talk about politics or religion. Or we follow the church crowd, you know, where the leaders say, oh, let's just focus on the Bible, which we should. But they use this statute and these norms as an excuse to not do anything at all.
And I would challenge anybody to just point out a verse in scripture where it says, don't do anything. Kind of hard to find. As an alternative to that, I want you to listen to what God says about excuses. Now, this is Proverbs chapter 24. Listen to this. It says this, rescue the perishing. Okay, that's a little bit the opposite of doing nothing. Okay. Don't hesitate to step in and help. Okay, again, the opposite of doing nothing. Rescue the perishing. Don't hesitate to step in and help. If you say, hey, that's none of my business, or, well, I didn't know, will that get you off the hook? Someone is watching closely, you know, someone not impressed with weak excuses.
Yet, a lot of these same members of this very spiritual American church don't seem to have a problem sending their Christian kids to secular colleges where professors are eager to teach lies as truth. Even Christian universities are hiring professors who do this as well. Churches are hiring liberal staff that are bringing lies into the church. And then we wonder, why our kids spout off things that are contrary to the Bible? The Bible does tell us to sing and worship and win souls. Absolutely. But it also says we must be salt to expose evil and to push back. And as that German man prayed, God, forgive us. Forgive the American Christians if this is our behavior currently.
Yeah, he goes on to say how the Christian also needs to be light. We are to seek ways to speak about God to others, to teach and show lovingly unbelievers why they too should follow Christ. Being a true follower of Christ doesn't put mandates on you or guilt you or bring condemnation upon you, but rather God's forgiveness. That's what makes you a child of God, which will allow your escape from hell. Having a relationship with God offers safety and protection to either keep you from danger, or it's going to give you strength when that danger does come.
And knowing God gives you hope, hope that helps you still be able to smile through the storms of life, and yes, even during the decay of our nation, it floods you with joy and peace, unbelievable peace. Wow. I mean, that is what Christ offers, and we should be telling others more about what Christ can offer them. And to the unbeliever listening right now, we love you and want you to have this free gift that is offered. We want you to have that power, the power to not only forgive sin and give us purpose, but also Jesus's power that will sustain you during what might be coming down the road. And knowing Christ is how you will make it through. And let me say that again, only knowing Christ will get you through.
Yeah, this is the point of Truth Is Now Treason. Our purpose is to make a plea to the church to begin acting and speaking out. I want to ask those of you who are believers, why are so many of us keeping silent about political events? Why do followers of Christ always say that Christians shouldn't talk about or get involved in politics? Is there instruction from God to act that way? There's not. So let's stop letting man's way of thinking control us. And I've also heard how Christians should remain quiet because we shouldn't use our tongue to condemn others. Now, remember, there's a difference between condemning somebody and exposing evil deeds. Our focus is the latter.
You know, Dietrich and I went to a church with a family a few years back whose kids are now grown. It was a Nazarene church, which is one of the more conservative denominations among Protestants. And as mentioned earlier, a couple years ago, Roe versus Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court, giving power back to the states, taking it away from the federal government. And what that Supreme Court ruling meant was that women could still have abortions and receive medical care, but the federal government could not mandate to all 50 states. Each state could pass its own laws, which many have since this ruling happened, but this daughter of this family spoke out on social media against the Supreme Court's ruling, saying that she was very upset and broken, and now she doesn't want to have kids in this world where her daughter wouldn't have basic rights. Are you kidding me? That was a lie. But this is a church-raised kid who was in her 20s, and when she was a teen, she was faithful in attending church weekly. She comes from a bright family. She's very intelligent. But she did go to a secular college. And I don't know if it was the college or her parents, but this is why Dietrich and I both say this is why we must talk about news events as well as cultural norms and definitely relate them to biblical teaching so that our children will know that the Bible is the standard by which we make choices in our lives. Everything that we make, everything we think and believe must first begin at the Bible. Somebody didn't do this with this girl. So as a result, she's siding with liars and proponents of murder. Her beliefs are not based on God's word. Someone spoke the lie to her and she bought it, saying, "Screw you, God. I don't care what your word says." So if we Christians don't talk, share, or preach about these lies and expose them, somebody else will. And it won't be the truth. This girl is a prime example of that. And last I heard, this girl professed to be a follower of Christ. And if so, she is spouting things totally against God's word. I mean, how can that be? And I'm not trying to condemn this young woman, but only trying to prove my point. We need to speak up in a graceful manner. We need to do it in love, which means we need to be prayed up because we need God's wisdom and strength. But we do need to share, even if people don't like the topic.
No, we understand everybody's different. Some people are going to be speaking out more than others. And if you're not the person who's going to be speaking out, then don't condemn or stop others who are doing what the Bible commands God's people to do. Neither should you condemn them to others who criticize. You should be defending those who are pushing back. Oh yeah, listen to what Jeffra says in this next clip.
Words of William Watkins in his book, The New Absolutes. He said, "It is time for Christians to reject the new tolerance and instead become a people marked by intolerance. Not an intolerance that unleashes hate upon people, but an intolerance that is unwilling to allow error to masquerade as truth any longer. A tolerance, an intolerance that is willing to stand up and call good, good, and evil, evil. May God give us the courage to do just that."
Now you might be thinking, "Lennox, Dietrich, I just don't have the boldness that you have." And you may not. And you know what? We're not asking you to be a Lennox or a Dietrich. Especially don't be a Lennox.
Don't be a Dietrich.
You know, but I want you to listen to this quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He said this, he said, "The simple step of a courageous individual is to not take part in the lie. One word of truth outweighs the world."
Which is not remaining silent.
Yeah, when somebody tells you what you know is a lie, we don't just sit there and say, okay, we have to fight against that lie. We cannot remain silent when our government is telling us to discriminate against one group to bring equity to another. We cannot remain silent when we have government officials from the top down the chain tell us that a man can be a woman or vice versa.
We cannot remain silent when we have open borders that are killing innocent lives and putting children into the sex slave trade, bringing all kinds of lawlessness to our cities and hometowns through policies that favor the criminal and jail the innocent.
We cannot remain quiet when our educational system or state governments are trying to insert themselves in the place of the parent, especially when this is regarding issues about what they like to call gender-affirming care and abortion. And we cannot especially remain silent when religious freedom is under attack, as we have addressed in the First Freedom Episode 2 or the episode Everybody Can Do It But You.
And we cannot remain silent when our politicians on the left are destroying our Judeo-Christian founding by ushering in an anti-God socialist system in its place, which promises to be the savior to mankind instead of Jesus.
And we know from history, every time that a government has decided to be your savior, it's failed. Well, you'll listen to this quote from Elie Wiesel. He said, "The opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. The opposite of art is not ugliness, it's indifference. The opposite of faith is not heresy, it's indifference. And the opposite of life is not death, it's indifference." And just because this isn't happening directly to you or your family doesn't mean that we shouldn't care. Because we should. And, you know, just because we might think, well, you know, God prophesied all these things that we're witnessing, doesn't mean that God's happy about it and that we should just accept it. If you are right and we are entering the end time era, do you remember what God said about the church at that time?
Yeah, he wanted to spit them out of his mouth because their indifference disgusted him. And he even went as far as to say that the church in Laodicea, which is the indifferent worldly one, needed to repent. And so let's not use that as an excuse to not do anything or to not care.
Yeah, Lennox and I want to challenge all of you who are listening to have an intolerance for lies this year and to care and to act in some way.
Yeah, we must speak about evil before we can act against it. And let me be clear, we need to know about the evil so we can speak about it and then act against it. Let's influence our society in a positive manner. Vote. There's no reason why you shouldn't. Share injustices with your church, with your family, at work, with your coworkers, with someone who may not know, but remember to do it in love. If you believe in our cause here at Truth Is Now Treason, please share this episode with someone. Or just a simple way you can act just by getting this message out there to others is by hitting that like button.
Now, some of you may be thinking, hey, I think I've heard this before, Dietrich. Well, you're right. We recorded this almost 18 months ago, and we listened to it, and we're like, we're doing things a little bit better now. And our sound system is so much better than what it was. So we thought, this is one we want to re-record. So here it is just for you, all for the low monthly cost of $299.95.
Let's be salt and light, traders.
And let's ask God, what does me acting like salt and light look like?
Until next time, my fellow traders.